This Could Be a Disaster, written by Wimpy Queer and read by Sunkitten Shash, an Only Friends Boston Nick fic, rated mature. Additional tags include alternate universe, 2 years after the show, exes, exes to lovers, Boston has a BF, post-breakup, reconciliation, making up, and making out, non-explicit sex, POV alternating, Nick-centric, a little bit of drinking, drunk sex, getting back together. Summary. 2 years after Boston leaves for New York, Nick gets offered an animation job there. When Nick sees him again, old feelings come flooding back. They've both grown as people. Boston even has a serious boyfriend, so Nick can't help but wonder if things were a little different, if it could work out this time. Chapter 1. Nick had always dreamed of moving to New York. He just never thought he'd actually get the opportunity. After working independently on animation for 2 years post-graduation, he got the email of his dreams. A prestigious American animation studio had seen his work and wanted him on their team. Nick was excited at first, but when he looked up their website and saw that they were located in New York, NY, he just about lost his marbles. He screamed so loud that Sand came out of his room and begged him to stop or they'd get noise complaints. But after Nick showed him the email, he was shaking Nick's shoulders and screaming as well. Quieter, but still. Nick immediately texted the group chat to meet at his house. They all arrived within a couple hours, and when he finally dropped the news, Chum yelled so loud you would have thought she was being murdered. Nick was dragged into a slightly uncomfortable but joyous group hug. The night was going well, until it wasn't. They were having a lively conversation, all except Ray slightly buzzed. Sand had sacrificed one of the bottles he was going to sell. When Ray asked, "Didn't Boston move to New York?" The smile on Nick's face dropped, and the light chatter of side conversations faded out into a tense silence. Even though Nick had no hard feelings, it had been 2 years and they ended on fine terms, Nick still felt his stomach drop at Boston's name. Truthfully, he had remembered about Boston when he realized he could be moving to New York, but he shoved his feelings and memories far, far down. He didn't want his past to get in the way of his future. After about 30 seconds of painfully awkward silence, Nick finally said, "Oh, yeah, forgot about that." Everyone had this look on their faces, almost like pity, and it made Nick wince. He sunk farther into his sofa, hoping someone would change the subject so he wouldn't have to think about it anymore. "It'll be fine. New York is a big city. You probably won't see him at all," Chum said, patting him on the shoulder reassuringly. Yeah. Nick didn't know if he felt better or worse after her suggestion. The idea of being so close to Boston for the first time in years was off-putting. He didn't know if he'd be able to cope with being just minutes away from his lost love, but never actually reconnecting. He knew it was a bad idea, but that didn't stop him from imagining the way Boston might ask him about the hostel, might hug him, might kiss him like he did so long ago. Or maybe he had moved on and never wanted to see Nick again. Somehow that idea felt worse. Someone changed the subject, and his friends kept talking, but their voices faded, Nick drowning in his thoughts. A month later, Nick had forgotten about Boston again. He was so busy coordinating everything for his move and preparing for his new job that he didn't have much time to think. It was only when he set foot in New York City at 5 a.m., sitting on a bench waiting for his Uber, that it really hit him. He is in the same city as Boston. He's going to live the rest of his life minutes away from Boston. Fuck. He ignored the feeling of dread and took out his phone to take a picture for his friends. He held his phone up and snapped a photo of himself. In the back of his mind, he remembered when he had taken a photo at a similar angle on Boston's phone. Suddenly, the sun felt too hot, and his exhaustion from the 20-hour flight kicked in. He reached into his backpack to take out his water bottle, and had just got done taking a long sip when his Uber arrived. Nick's apartment was tiny and expensive, just like every other apartment in New York. He could barely fit his mattress and dresser in his bedroom without making it suffocatingly cramped. After the longest day of his life, Nick threw himself on his couch, intending to just rest his back before making dinner, but instead fell asleep in seconds. When he woke up, it was 11 p.m., and his stomach was growling like he hadn't eaten in days. Nick groaned as he sat up, relishing in the satisfying pop of his bones as he stretched. He got up to go grab some food, then remembered he didn't have any groceries yet. He almost just decided to lay back down and sleep through the night, but his stomach was screaming at him. Instead of going out and buying groceries to make a meal, he just walked across the street to a local Chinese place to get takeout. He decided to take a short walk to the park, eating some rice on his way, then sat down at a picnic table to eat and do some sightseeing. New York wasn't magical like the movies, but it was still absolutely beautiful. The bright lights of buildings and skyscrapers illuminated the night, and the city was very much still alive, despite it being close to midnight. He also did some people watching. He saw some people speed walking, probably rushing to get home after a long day of work. Some people in groups dressed up with plenty of skin showing, probably headed to the club, and even some couples, holding hands and laughing in a sickeningly sweet manner. Even though Nick was seeing so much life, he still felt a little dead without all his closest friends. He took a picture of the city lights and sent it to his friend's group chat, knowing it was around morning time for them. The photo also captured a few people walking around the park, and Nick didn't think anything of it at first. But as he zoomed in, one of the faces felt oddly familiar. He looked up, and surely enough, leaning on a tree laughing with some guy, was Boston. Nick felt sick to his stomach. He couldn't tell if it was because he saw Boston, or because he saw Boston with a guy, being all flirtatious like he used to be with him. He hoped, for his sanity, that it was the former. For a second, Nick thought about going up to them, about how Boston might be happy to see him, but he knew his fantasies about him were just that. Fantasy. Nick put his head down and scarfed down the rest of his pork fried rice. Just as he was about to get up and flee to his apartment, Boston and the guy started to walk in his direction. Nick felt his heart start to beat out of his chest. He pulled out his phone and slouched down, pretending to text someone. He heard a small bit of their conversation, a mix of Thai and English, as they passed him. His shoulders tensed even more. They were talking about some photography project, which wasn't incriminating in itself, but the way Boston was talking was eerily familiar. Sweet. Nick's heart sank to his stomach. That guy was probably Boston's boyfriend. And Nick, for some reason, felt like that was the worst thing imaginable. It felt like Boston was haunting him, more like the idea of Boston, what his new life was like, where he lived, his job, his boyfriend. 1 week in New York City, and Nick was already wishing he had stayed in Thailand. At least his new job was nice. The manager was treating him well, his first assignment was a breeze, and his co-workers were quite outgoing. They invited him to a company dinner after his first day, and they all seemed to like him pretty well. Another pro of New York was that there were so many more queer people. Back in Thailand, he had his group, his little bubble of queers, but outside of that, he didn't know a whole lot of people like him. In New York, it was like his gaydar was always going off, and he actually ended up making some friends pretty quickly that way. Of course, no one could replace his friends back in Thailand. They'd been bombarding him with questions, begging to call and updating on how things are going without him. It was hard to find time to call with the time zones, but he was planning to call them after dinner that day. He had a long day at work, tech problems, but managed to be in a good enough mood to make a home-cooked meal. Granted, he was broke, so his home-cooked meal was Kraft mac and cheese, but it was delicious nonetheless. After he finished eating and washed his dishes, Nick texted the group chat to see if they were all available to call. They all responded fairly quickly and enthusiastically, and Nick saw his wide smile reflected in the black of his phone screen as he dialed them.
"Nick!"
Sand yelled, apparently the first one to pick up.
"How does it feel being a New Yorker?"
"Hi, Sand. So far it's pretty awesome. My apartment is kind of shitty, though," Nick responded. "Actually, how about I turn on my camera and give you guys a tour?" Chum and Top, who had joined a few seconds after Sand, begged him to show them his apartment, Top probably wanting to critique his design choices. Nick turned on his camera and showed them around. Although half the house was still covered in boxes he had yet to unpack, and his mattress was still on the floor, they still thought it looked comfy. Top said his color scheme could use some work, but Nick just laughed him off.
"Hey, Nick, since you gave us a tour of your apartment, why don't you give us a tour of the city as well?"
Mew asked. "I'm not your virtual tour guide."
"Come on, Nick, please. The photos you've been sending are so pretty. I need to see more."
Jim joined in. All the others joined in as well, begging him, and eventually he gave in. "All right, fine. I'll take you guys on a walk down some streets near my house," Nick said, and his friends cheered. He wished they would turn their cameras on as well, so he could see their excited faces. He wished they would turn their cameras on even more when he actually started to show off the city. Their dramatic reactions to every little detail were comical. Even as they oohed and awed at the scenery, they still begged for Nick to show them more.
"That store looks so fancy! Can you please go in and show us?"
Jim asked, and Nick laughed and shook his head. "That would be weird. I can't just walk into some fancy store with you guys, especially not when I'm dressed this casual," Nick replied. "I could probably find some other store to show you, though." Nick looked around for a store that wouldn't be too weird to show off. A couple feet in front of him, he saw what looked like a tech store. He did need a new drawing pen, since his was being finicky at work that morning. Plus, people probably went in there and filmed or chatted on the phone all the time. It was a tech store, after all. Nick turned his phone volume down a bit and pushed open the double doors of the shop. Thankfully for him, the store was fairly busy. In the front were big displays of iPhones, then iPads to the right, and computers to the left. Behind those displays were some speakers, then cameras. Finally, in the back of the store, he found what he was looking for. His friends complained that he'd picked a boring store, since he had previously worked at a tech shop and it was nothing they'd never seen before. Nick defended himself by explaining how he needed a new pen, but they still complained in his ear. Nick rolled his eyes and ignored them. Just as he picked out a pen and turned to go check out, a voice yelled out, Nick, is that you? Nick's eyes darted around, searching for the source of the yell, when he locked eyes with none other than Boston. Nick thought God must hate him to keep putting him in situations like this. Sorry, guys, I'll call you back in a bit, Nick said to his phone, and hung up. When he finished putting his phone away, Boston had come closer. Nick felt the air thicken as he approached. Tawn, Nick said, avoiding eye contact. What the hell are you doing here? I thought I'd never see you again. To Nick's surprise, Boston was smiling at him. It made him feel uneasy. Remember how I told you I wanted to move here to work on animation? Yeah, I thought you were just saying that because you wanted to come with me. I didn't expect you to actually come here. I told you when you asked that I wanted to move here for myself. So I did. As the topic of their past came up, the air became so tense you could cut it with a knife. Yeah, good for you, man, Boston replied, with a smile that didn't quite reach his eyes. They both went silent. For a brief moment, they made eye contact, then immediately turned away. Nick was just about to say goodbye when Boston blurted out, It's nice to see you again. Nick's mouth twisted into an involuntary grin. He hid his face in his shoulder. He could not let himself get back into this. Against his best interests, Nick found himself whispering, It's nice to see you, too. He pretended to not hear the sigh Boston let out after. Nick tried to reason with himself. Nick and Boston were over, but maybe being friends again wouldn't be so bad. So, what have you been doing the past couple years? Still doing photography? Nick tried being casual, just friendly. Yeah, that's actually why I'm here. He held up a Polaroid camera, trying out something new. Have you tried out a lot of new things since you came? Nick knew he was getting into bad territory, but he couldn't seem to stop himself from wondering. Ha ha, Boston replied, deadpan. Honestly, I'm not like that anymore. Just a few boyfriends, no fuck buddies, but nothing has really lasted that long. Boyfriends. Nick shuddered at the word. But maybe it wasn't so bad. Maybe Boston wasn't so bad anymore. Pushing his thoughts away, Nick replied, Of course they didn't last. Who'd want to date an asshole like Tawn? Boston just grinned, and Nick mirrored his expression. Have you been dating back in Thailand? Boston asked, biting his lip. Nick stayed silent for a good 10 seconds, then finally replied, No, been working on myself. That was a lie. He had been working on himself, but about a year after Boston left, Nick started dating again. He went back to Dan, but they didn't work out. Something about Nick being distant when they hung out. Then he started fucking around with guys at the bar, but they never treated him well. Always treated him like their sex doll and nothing more. Boston just clicked his tongue in response, nodding. So, what part of the city are you living in? Boston asked. Just a couple streets down from here, actually. He hoped he didn't regret telling him that. My place is kind of shitty, but it's home now. Boston let out a low chuckle. I get it. I've been living here for years, and yet I still can't afford anything nice. You should see my place. Nick swallowed. Was that an invitation? He wasn't sure if he wanted it to be or not. Like he was reading Nick's mind, Boston said, That was an invitation, if you're not too busy. We should catch up. Against his better judgment, Nick nodded yes. When their eyes met again, Nick felt a familiar sensation, a familiar passion that left him with heat pooling in his stomach. All rational thoughts left his brain. He forgot about Boston's probably boyfriend. He forgot about the consequences of what he was about to do. He almost forgot to pay for his drawing pen as well. He just followed Boston to his apartment and ignored how jittery he was feeling, the shaking of his hands and the beating in his chest. When Boston unlocked his door and led Nick in, the jitters left in an instant. This was familiar. With his newfound coordination, Nick threw an arm around Boston's nape, shutting and locking the door with his other hand, and closed the distance. Maybe him and Boston couldn't be friends again, but Nick liked it better that way. Boston knew he was making a mistake. He knew it was a mistake the moment he walked up to Nick in that store. He knew he wouldn't be able to hold back. As Nick licked his lips and then into his mouth, Boston felt right at home again. He relaxed, letting Nick take the lead, relishing in the familiarity of his soft lips, his scent, the way his waist felt under his fingertips. In the back of his mind, he knew what he was doing was kind of fucked up. He had a boyfriend. He was falling back into old habits. Guilt racked him and sent a chill up his body. Or maybe it was the way Nick was inching his fingers closer to his waistband. But he couldn't stop. He couldn't let Nick go again. He had to have him, even if it was just for the night. And that's what he told himself. This is just for tonight. One last time. Then Nick's hand finally went under his boxers, and Boston stopped thinking. Chapter 2. When Nick blinked his eyes open, realized the unfamiliarity of the bed and the warm feeling of a body against his side, he shot up so fast he thought he might get whiplash. Boston made a sleepy groan below him. Nick bit his lip and hoped he didn't wake up. Thankfully, Boston just curled up with his pillow and kept snoring. Nick told himself it wasn't endearing. He slowly slipped out from beneath the covers and shivered, suddenly feeling far too exposed. As he tugged his crumpled shirt and pants back on, he started to remember everything that had happened last night, and why it was the worst decision of his life. Nick covered his face with his hands, letting out a muffled groan. He was so stupid. The post-coital clarity finally hit him. Nick just fucked Boston, and Boston had a boyfriend. He was doing exactly what Boston did to him so long ago. God, he was such an asshole. He needed to get home. He palmed at his pockets, hoping he left his phone in there, but came out empty-handed. The nightstand was bare, except for a flickering lamp. So was his dresser. He wandered out into the cramped living space. Boston's shirt was still strewn across the back of the couch. Nick pursed his lips. On the kitchen counter, he found his forgotten pen and phone. The bright light of his phone screen pierced his vision, and when his eyes focused, he saw that he had countless missed texts and calls from the group chat, most asking what happened and if he was okay. Nick turned his phone back off. Not a single space in Boston's apartment was safe. He remembered being thrown up onto the kitchen counters, straddling Boston on the couch, and, of course, the bedroom. Unwisely, he started to wander around, inspecting the place. The walls were covered in photos, probably taken by Boston, of the city. Some even looked like they were taken back in Thailand. On some of the surfaces, there were pictures of Boston with a guy. most likely the same guy Nick had seen him with at the park. He picked it up and inspected it, finding writing on the back. Mark, it said. His boyfriend's name was Mark. Nick began to feel like he was intruding on something, so he padded back to the kitchen, grabbed his things, and went to go back home. As he slipped his shoes on in the entryway, a certain black and white image caught his eye. Nick recognized the lighting, the room, the pose. He recognized himself, the emotions held in his face and in the frame itself. He remembered holding that frame for a brief moment. He remembered putting himself first for the first time in his life. The picture itself didn't disturb him, more the fact that Boston had it up in his apartment, 2 years after they broke up. Before he could think about the implications of that too much, he shakily grabbed the doorknob and slammed it behind him. Every time Mark smiled at Boston, a part of him died. Somehow, he hadn't expected the guilt to hit him this hard. He was feeling like the asshole he was in college. Boston could tell that Mark knew something was up. He knew Mark caught him every time he flicked his eyes away from eye contact. He knew Mark caught him every time he slithered away from a hug or a handhold. And it wasn't Mark's fault. He hated that Mark probably thought that. Boston was just an imbecile with poor decision-making skills and far too good a memory. When they met up at the park for their Saturday date, Mark pulled him into a tight hug. Boston squeezed his eyes shut as the image of Nick wrapped around him flashed through his brain. He remembered Nick's blunt nails scratching at his shoulder blades. He hoped he didn't leave marks. His shame became crippling when Mark wrapped his arms around Boston's neck and pecked his lips. Boston hoped he didn't noticeably wince when he pulled away. He must have failed, because Mark asked him, "Are you all right?" Boston flashed a false smile and replied, "Yeah, just a little stressed about my work project. Didn't sleep well last night either." Technically not a lie. "Aw, I'm sorry. I have an idea to cheer you up, though." Boston was sure he looked like a deer in headlights for a moment before he composed himself. It wasn't like he didn't want to take Mark's offer. It was more like he wasn't sure if he would survive. Boston chuckled dryly. "We've got plans today. Let's think about that later." His excuse worked for a while, Boston finding some reason to stay out and some place to go, while he tried to come up with a longer-term solution. After the third cafe visit, Mark finally had enough. "Come on, don't you want to go home? You said you were tired. We've probably been around the whole city at this point." Boston opened his mouth to protest, but found Mark pouting at him like a dog. Truthfully, it wasn't that cute, but the fact that he did it in the first place made Boston realize how desperate he was. "I haven't seen you for a whole week, you know." Mark ran his fingers from Boston's shoulder to his wrist, then grabbed his hand. Boston closed his eyes and pursed his lips. Boston knew he couldn't run away from him for the rest of the day. Reluctantly, he let Mark lead him home. Mark shoved him against his entryway wall. His mind blanked for a good minute, and for a second, he thought he might survive the night. That was, until Mark whispered in his ear, "I missed you so much." Boston swore he heard Nick's voice. His eyes shot open, only to find Mark leaning over him still. Mark cocked his head, and Boston shook his head. "Missed you too," he mumbled, letting himself be pulled back into a searing kiss. After a while of languidly making out, Mark pulled his hips closer to his own by his waistband. Boston felt a phantom hand under his boxers, and his eyes rolled back into his skull. He cursed himself for thinking of Nick again, but didn't stop. As things escalated, and Mark was seated in front of him on his knees, Boston started to lose his inhibition. He rested his head against the wall, and didn't hold back from being noisy. This became a problem when he absentmindedly let Nick's name slip out from his lips. Mark froze in place. "What the fuck?" Mark stood up, and although Boston had turned his head away, he still felt his piercing gaze on the side of his face. "Who is Nick?" Boston's silence was far too loud. Wordlessly, Mark stomped out the door. It was only when he heard his footsteps recede down the stairs that he let out a frustrated shout. He thought about texting Mark, but you can't really come up with an excuse for moaning someone else's name during sex. He'd apologize in the morning. And if he spent a half hour in the shower thinking about Nick's mouth on his dick, that was between him and his right hand. Nick felt at home again in the worst way possible. The thick air in the bar was just as suffocating in New York as it was in Thailand. The drinks were mediocre. He almost felt lonelier surrounded by so many people than if he had stayed home. But he could not deal with another sleepless night spent thinking about his mistake. Nick gulped the last of his drink down, feeling it burn his throat. It was all too familiar. Nick's head spun as he tried to stand up. He lost his footing and had to grab hold of his bar stool. Fuck, he couldn't walk home. He fumbled with his phone, trying to call an Uber, when he felt eyes on his back. Maybe it was a coincidence. There was only one gay bar in walking distance, after all. Or maybe Boston just loved to fuck with him, because there he sat, nursing a drink of his own, alone. In his moment of distraction, he dropped his phone. He crouched down, fumbling with it again, and when he stood up, Boston was standing in front of him. He didn't look much better off than Nick. His cheeks were flushed red, and he was leaning on a chair for support. "We have to stop bumping into each other," Boston said, putting a hand on Nick's shoulder. Nick didn't have the energy to brush it off. "Yeah, we really should," Nick said, avoiding eye contact. He continued trying to call an Uber, ignoring Boston's burning stare, then ignoring his hot breath beside his ear. "I can't stop thinking about you," Boston whispered. Nick shuddered, looking up from his phone to find an almost pitiful expression on Boston's face. "Me neither," he wanted to say. Boston smirked up at him. He must have accidentally said it out loud. He blamed the alcohol. Wordlessly, Boston captured Nick's lips in a messy kiss, and Nick found that he didn't feel like pushing him away anymore. He let Boston wrap his arms around him, then let him drag him away from the bar. Nick didn't know where they were going, but he wasn't sure he cared. His mind was blank. When he was pulled into the only single bathroom, Nick almost laughed. Classy. Boston undid the button on his jeans, and Nick hoped he'd forget everything the morning after. Unfortunately, Nick's memory was better than he'd hoped. The moment his alarm went off and he woke up, fully clothed and sticky with sweat and God knows what else, he cursed himself. At least he was laying in his own bed. Not only did he get way too drunk on a work night, he also had sex with his ex-boyfriend, for the second time, in a bar bathroom. Nick groaned into his pillow. Being so close to Boston again was becoming a horrible problem. Beside him, his phone buzzed. A text from Sand, checking in. A picture from Choom of her, April, Ray, and Mew in the pool at the hostel, with a message that said, "We miss you." Maybe he needed his friends more than he'd thought. When Boston woke up the next morning, it was to the sound of knocking. He rubbed the sleep from his eyes and yelled, "Coming," throwing on the closest t-shirt in the process. Boston was sure the shock showed on his face when he opened the door to Mark. Mark hadn't texted or called him for a good week, not since the incident. Mark didn't make eye contact with him, just blurted out, "I'm breaking up with you. Just wanted to tell you in person," then slammed the door in Boston's face. Boston didn't spend the day thinking about Mark. Maybe he should have. It was his fault. He ruined a good relationship of 5 months because he couldn't keep his dick in his pants. But, with Mark out of the picture, he didn't have anything in his way. Boston elected to spend the day trying out his new Polaroid camera. He walked around the city, taking pictures of anything and everything, but mostly whatever reminded him of home, of Nick. That should be my next project theme, he thought. Home. Later, he made his own dinner, his favorite meal as a child, and ate alone. He couldn't stop thinking about how he'd rather be spending his time with Nick. That was why he found himself scrolling through his contacts before bed, praying he hadn't been stupid enough to delete Nick's number. Their last messages were about Nick coming to Choom's New Year's party 2 years ago. Then he scrolled up higher, remembering not just his time with Nick, but with all of his old friends. For some reason, thinking about them made his eyes glassy. He felt like he was in a trance as he dialed Nick's number. He didn't register what he was doing until the ringing stopped and he heard,
"Boston, what the fuck?"
Boston opened his mouth to respond, but found that he had no idea what to say.
"What do you want? I'm busy."
"Doing what?" He heard Nick sigh into the mic.
"Packing,"
Nick replied. Boston sat up against his bed frame. "For what?"
"Not that it's any of your business, but I'm going home."
When are you leaving?"
"Tomorrow morning, so I really don't have time for this right now."
Boston winced at Nick's tone. "I just wanted to see you again." Nick sighed again.
"Boston, I know you have a boyfriend. Go hang out with him instead of reopening old wounds."
3 beeps let him know Nick had hung up on him. It was the ass crack of dawn when his doorbell rang through Nick's apartment. He was too tired from work and packing that he didn't think before opening his door. There stood Boston, staring at him with his puppy eyes. Nick had to turn away for a second. He regretted ever telling Boston he was leaving. Not having the energy to fight with him, Nick just half-heartedly asked, "What?" Boston stared at the floor and bit his lip. "I don't have a boyfriend anymore." Nick took a second to take that in, but before he could respond, Boston continued. "He broke up with me because I'm still in love with you. And I know that I haven't really shown you that, but it's true. I wasn't just having sex with you for the fun of it. I still love you. I haven't slept around or had many relationships here because none of them are you. I just want you. I'll never fuck anyone else or kiss anyone else because I don't need to anymore. I guess I've changed. Shocker, I know. I guess this is me telling you I want to be with you again. I want to do it right this time. if you'll let me. Nick let that simmer for a good 30 seconds, staring at Boston in silence. He couldn't lie to himself. He knew that old feelings were surfacing the second they spoke for the first time. The only reason he thought that having sex with Boston had been a mistake was because of his boyfriend. He didn't want to be a homewrecker, but he supposed he'd been one regardless. Nick had sex with Boston because he wanted to. He wasn't bored, wasn't lonely, wasn't desperate. He had sex with Boston because it was Boston, and maybe he still loved him, too. Honestly, you had me at, "I don't have a boyfriend anymore," Nick replied with a cheeky grin. Nick saw the tension physically leave Boston's body. They laughed together, and then fell into a relaxed embrace. Nick dug his head in between Boston's neck and shoulder. He could have stayed like that forever, if he didn't have a flight to make in 8 hours. Nick pulled away and softly said, "I already bought the plane ticket, but I'm only leaving for the weekend. I still have work next week." "It's okay. I'll come with you. I want to see everybody again," Boston replied. "I just got paid, so I've got enough money."
"You really don't have to."
"No, I want to. I think I've needed to go back for a while." Nick buzzed with excitement and couldn't stop himself from kissing the grin off Boston's lips. Chapter 3. Nick woke up next to Boston again, but this time he didn't panic, just squeezed himself closer to his body. For a second, he thought he didn't need to go home, that home was right there with him. But he didn't spend hundreds of dollars on a plane ticket for nothing. Nick reached to his right to grab his phone from his nightstand. The time read 5:10. They had about 3.5 hours until their flight, but Nick wasn't about to risk missing it. He shook Boston's shoulder, but the only response he got was a sleepy grumble. Nick shook him harder, and he turned away from him, grumbling more complaints. As a last resort effort, Nick started kissing a trail down the back of his neck. That seemed to wake Boston up easier. Nick heard him sigh heavily and stretch a little, and when he came to a little bit more, he shuffled around, turning himself so he could kiss Nick's lips. Nick relaxed into it, and only stopped him after Boston's tongue licked his bottom lip. "We have to leave soon. Can't get too distracted," Nick said softly, keeping his forehead against Boston's. Boston groaned a complaint, but started to untangle himself from the blankets and get up. Despite distractions, Nick and Boston got to the airport on time. They spent their flight watching a movie, then sleeping, half because they were a bit preoccupied the night before, and half because Nick was starting to get motion sickness. When they finally set foot on the soil of their home city, they both felt a little bit lighter. They were both shaking, but for different reasons. Nick, with excitement to see his favorite people. Boston, with anxiousness at not having seen those people in years. "What if they all still hold grudges against me?" he thought. "What if Mew still hates me? Is it going to be awkward?" All of his worries vanished the moment he met eyes with Sand, sitting at a table on Yolo, and was tugged into the tightest hug he'd had in years. At first, he was confused, but then he saw Nick mouthing, "I told him everything," and it all made sense. Boston rolled his eyes, but relaxed into the hug. Soon after, Nick was joining in, and then Ray and Top and Chum. Boston was honestly shocked that no one had punched him yet. This seemed much better, though. Eventually, the hug ended, and everyone started asking all the essential questions to Nick. What are you doing back? Is everything going well in the city? Have you made any new friends? Are you having so much fun without us? Nick started rapid-fire answering their questions, and Boston let himself fade into the background. His left hand settled on Nick's lower back. They all talked like they used to, like a family reunion. A part of Boston wished he had never left, if only he could be a part of their family again. On the bright side, it didn't seem like they all hated him anymore. He was most surprised by Mew, who wasn't talking to him or interacting, but would sometimes make eye contact with him and give a faint smile. At least that was better than getting a death stare. Just as Nick was getting to explaining what had happened with him in Boston, Yo walked onto the bar stage and announced that it was trivia night. "Oh my god!" Nick exclaimed. "It's just like old times. I've got great timing, I guess." "Let's see if we've still got it," Top said, throwing his arm around Mew's shoulders. Apparently, everyone except Boston was a trivia god. Boston hadn't known the answer to a single question. Meanwhile, their table was filled with shot glasses from everyone else's correct answers, although the only people actually drinking them were Chum and Mew. Boston felt a little out of place, but he wasn't upset about it. Meanwhile, Nick felt on top of the world. He was back where he felt he belonged, with his family, having the time of his life. Of course, he'd have to go back to New York in a couple days, but he was going to make the best of his weekend. He thought of it as a quick reset before heading back to his new home. After an hour of trivia, Chum and Mew hit their limits. Top insisted he should take Mew home, and Sand called April to come get Chum. With half of the group gone, the table was much quieter, but not tense. Nick and Sand made friendly conversation, occasionally teasing Boston about him and Nick. When the hours hit the AMs, Ray started to complain about being tired. Sand wanted to keep chatting with Nick, but Nick assured him it was fine. He was tired as well from the jet lag. Once him and Boston were alone, Nick realized he didn't figure out where he was going to stay for the night. Seeming to read his mind, Boston said, "We can go to my house." "Did you even tell your dad you're coming home? Do you still have a key?" Nick asked. Although he was a little apprehensive, Nick was excited at the idea of seeing Boston's house again. He was in the mood for reliving old memories. "I texted my dad this morning, but he said he was on a business trip. We've got the whole house to ourselves." Boston raised his eyebrows suggestively, and Nick just punched him in the shoulder. "I know where my dad keeps his spare key. We should be fine." "I'll call a grab, then." The smile on Boston's face made Nick nostalgic, and he planted a chaste kiss on Boston's lips. Boston's house was just like Nick remembered it. Not like he could forget it, considering the amount of nights he'd spent there. Nick waited at the front door as Boston rounded the corner, looking for the spare key. In the meantime, Nick thought about all his memories of the house. He had plenty, good and bad, but he found himself recalling all of the good ones first. He remembered Boston's dark room. He remembered how Boston would bring him there after they had sex, and would kiss him like he actually loved him, as more than just friends with benefits. Nick remembered feeling conflicted about that, but feeling ecstatic in the moment. He remembered Boston's bedroom. He remembered when Boston would take his picture, his naked body just barely covered by the sheets. He remembered how Boston gave him one of those photos, framed, as a New Year's present, and how he declined. Then he remembered Boston's apartment in New York, and how that picture of him still hung on his wall. He made a note to ask Boston about that later. Boston returned with the key, then unlocked the door and led him into the house. He walked up the stairs to his old bedroom, probably expecting Nick to follow, but Nick just stood at the bottom of the stairs, taking it all in. His fatigue had left him, and he found himself more inclined to just walk around for a while. "Nick, you coming? You said you were tired," Boston asked, leaning against the railing halfway up the stairs. "I just want to look around," feeling nostalgic. Boston walked back down, stopping on the last step in front of Nick. "How about we check out my dark room, just like we used to?" Nick ran his hand over Boston's bicep, the feeling of his muscles under his hand all too familiar, then nodded his head. Boston grabbed his hand and removed it from his arm, then entwined their fingers and led him to his dark room. Nick had always enjoyed the atmosphere of the dark room. It was quiet, serene, and Nick loved how everything, even their skin, was tinted crimson. Boston ran his hands over his old equipment. He found one of his old cameras laying on a table and started to go through it. "Remembering all the people you've had down here?" Nick asked. Boston held up the camera in Nick's direction. "Just you," he said. "You flatter me," Nick said, as Boston snapped a photo. Nick muttered complaints, but walked up to Boston and tried to sneak a peek at the picture.
"Hey, be patient. I'll develop it for you," Boston said, leaning in for a peck. Nick was getting serious flashbacks.
"On the topic of pictures of me," Nick started, and Boston raised his eyebrows. "You still have that picture of me framed in your apartment?"
Boston smirked. "I told you I never got over you, didn't I?"
He leaned in again, and they languidly made out for a minute or so before Boston asked,
"Do you want me to take a new one?"
Nick thought he'd never been more in love with him in his life. He rested his forehead against Boston's and nodded against him. Boston took that as an invitation to heat things up, digging his fingers into Nick's small waist and licking into his mouth. Nick made an obscene noise and grounded himself by resting his hands atop Boston's. That only lasted for so long, because soon after Boston was inching his hands lower until his palms cupped the back of Nick's thighs. The only warning Nick got was a whispered, "Hold on," between kisses, before he was being hoisted up and he had to wrap his legs around Boston's hips. Boston's grip was steady as he walked them up to the staircase. Boston gently let Nick down, then pulled him up the stairs by his waist. Nick let Boston guide him to his bedroom, then to his bed. Before Boston could lean him down on his back, Nick flipped them and pinned Boston under him. Boston moaned, and Nick had never felt more alive. Once they were done, Nick wanted to take his time to observe post-sex Boston, flushed and tranquil, but Boston had other plans. He rushed downstairs, then came back up with his camera.
"Do you have a reputation to uphold, or is this okay?" Boston asked.
By this, he meant Nick being butt-ass naked, the sheets doing nothing sitting at his feet.
"It's just for you, isn't it?" Nick said. "Of course. Is that a yes?"
"Just take the damn picture."
"I think it would make a nice centerpiece on the dining table. It'll stimulate my appetite."
"Oh my god, Boston, please don't put my bare ass on your dining table. People actually visit your apartment."
"Where else am I supposed to put it? I ran out of wall space."
"Anywhere else. Please."
"Fine, I'll put it on my TV stand."
"No!"
The end. Thanks for listening.